I'll go ahead and call this special meeting to order of the Connecticut Port Authority. I'll do a quick roll call just so we can see who's here. Myself, I don't see Grant Gaffney here.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Kristen Urbach.
Here.
David Corus. I got him.
Here.
Sally Cruz. Jim Dunnigan.
Here.
Thanks for
Sally,
coming.
Sally's not coming
Paul Hinch.
here.
Doug Delaney. Delana. Sorry. I'm getting that right. Paul Robertson.
Here.
Kaylee Moran. Okay. City of New London, either Felix or the mayor. Grant. Thomas Gill. Brian Thompson, we have Kristen Sinelis. Dave, I don't think was going to be here. Mayor Riley. And Tom Patton, I don't think was going to be here either.
Grant Westerson.
Gotcha, Grant. Okay, so we have a quorum. The first order of business is public comment. So I'll let we don't have anybody from the public here, so if you are part of the public, I'll let Jill inform you how to go about doing that.
Thank you. If you would like to make public comment, you can take yourself off of mute if you're joining on Zoom, or you can raise your hand. And if you're dialing in on the phone, you can press star six to unmute yourself or star nine to raise your hand.
We got you, Sally. Okay, hearing none, we'll go to agenda item number three, which is a small harbor improvement program. Everybody should have had in your packets a spreadsheet of those that staff and the committee approved. But I'll let Melissa or Mike, if you want to comment on the process or how. We didn't reach our limitations on funding, so.
Well, yeah, thank you, Paul. I'll start. There'll be two things to vote on within this. One is that the board approves the disbursement of the Small Harbor Improvement Project grants that the staff collected, recommended to the committee, and the committee authorized to go to the full board. That's how that was processed. Separately, there was legislative action taken last year to be able to include towns that had previously been approved by the Port Authority, but not approved by the Bond Commission due to timing constraints, where the town had to improve the safety of the harbor for navigation purposes. That was a criteria in the legislation that I have discussed in the past that didn't fit into the policies and procedures we set up for handling an actual ship program. So we didn't include it in round five, but after round five was identified, we also had a request from Guilford to fund that in accordance with that statute, and I'll cover that as a separate vote. The total of the ship grant applications that we recommend approving, plus the Guilford request, approximately $3.6 million of the $5.2 million we had available. We had a lot of great grant applications in. We had the window open for a 30-day period. We've got the reviews and all of our assessment done in a 30-day window. So we're in a position after today's meeting to be able to announce and start working with towns to get some projects moving and done. And then we'll plot out an appropriate time where we'll be able to open up another grant window to make use of those remaining $1.6 million that we have. And then we will continue to work with the legislature on using up the remaining already authorized but not yet allocated money in the ship grant legislation to facilitate approximately $5 million going into next year. So that's the status of the Small Harbor Improvement Program today. Melissa, do you want to categorize what we have
Oh, sure.
for the board?
Sure. So I think you all got the information, but we had, I believe, 18 projects that we recommend for approval. They range from renewing a harbor management plan to building docks, repairing seawalls, They have a list. If the board should approve, we will put this list on our website with the project names. The projects that were not approved generally either didn't follow the request for applications accurately. In some instances, we reached out to ask for additional information. Most responded. Those that did not were not then able to be fully considered. And they each applicant will get an email explaining the resolution of the board. And the process, we this is the first time doing an online application. It went exceedingly well, simplified things, I think, for applicants and for the reviewers. We did a random assignment of two internal reviewers to each application, ensuring that there was not any conflict of interest in a review. Had a third person review the two reviewers to make sure that everything, whether there was concurrence between the two reviewers or not. Then the internal team met and evaluated those. Then we brought those recommendations to the board committee, and now it is before all of you.
Can you talk about the difference between most of the applications between dredging and maintenance and repairs? I think we're not concentrating on dredging on this, right?
There are some
There are
projects
some
that are
dredging.
dredging. Particularly, there's one or two towns that have dredging, but sometimes it's permitting related. But there are some. This is the first time private entities have been allowed to apply for this particular grant, and so we have several of those where they wanted or applied for funds appropriately that were above and beyond typical dredging costs, right? So whether it was for biological testing to determine if the material was suitable for open water placement or upland placement or transportation to a different site. So we do have dredging in there as well. Any other questions?
Okay, so I'll take a motion to approve the list that's in green on the sheet as approval by the board of directors
No more, Paul.
for
Second.
Okay, so I have a first is John, second is Gaffney. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Oh, wait a second. Felix, you had a question?
Just want to make sure because New London's on there, I guess I'm gonna have to like not be a part of the vote. I'm not sure if I'm part of the executive group that votes on this or not. So I just want to make sure there's no ethic issues with New London being one of the recipients. That's all.
You can always recuse yourself from this vote.
You can abstain.
Yep, you can
I'll
abstain.
abstain, make things easy. Yep.
Very well. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? And we'll list Felix as abstaining, but the motion carries. Okay, now on to Guilford.
On to Guilford. So I do have a request from the town of Guilford. I'm going to read it because it's not that long. On behalf of the town of Guilford, I write to formally request reimbursement of $860,000 for the Guilford Marina dredging project, which was previously approved for funding through the Small Harbor Improvement Projects Program administered by the Connecticut Port Authority. The dredging of Guilford Harbor and the Marina Access Channel was undertaken to restore navigational depths necessary for safe maritime operations, public safety, and the continued functioning of the harbor as a working and recreational maritime facility. At the time the town pursued funding through the Connecticut Port Authority Ship Program, the project was identified as eligible and was expected to receive $860,000 in grant funding. However, the grant funds were not distributed due to procedural timing constraints related to the state bond commission process. This left the Connecticut Port Authority without a contract in place to release the grant funds. Last year, the General Assembly addressed this issue through Public Act number 25-65, which amended how the Small Harbor Improvement Projects Program was administered. The statute now expressly authorizes the Port Authority to provide reimbursement for projects that were approved for funding or that commenced prior to the distribution of funds due to timing considerations impacting the flow of commerce at a small harbor. So therefore, that forms a basis for their request. We received that last Friday. And I would request a motion to approve. Once you do, if approved, we will handle this like every other ship grant request. establish the contract with the town. The town will have to provide us receipts for what will be reimbursed, and we will make the reimbursement.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to approve reimbursement to Guilford for a ship grant.
So moved.
So moved. Doug, do I have a second?
Second.
Gaffney, any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, motion carries. That concludes agenda item number three. On to agenda item number four.
Before you go to four,
Okay.
I think thank you to the board for supporting this.
Yep.
We're prepared to put out a press release today, put some information up on our websites, and start notifying the towns that applied, the towns that didn't weren't successful, and how they can reapply at a future date or what they have to change to be successful next time. And we'll also be notifying the mayors and first selectmen of the towns, as well as the representatives and senators that are involved in this process as well, so that they're all aware of that outcome. And we'll start immediately working with the towns to be able to reimburse the funds. Steve,
Are you going to talk about the Guilford
that's
800,000?
in the press release.
That's part of the press release.
That's correct. Also, as I said earlier, we have approximately $1.6 million left over. I do appreciate the legislature's actions to get the money into the Port Authority's house so that we could expedite getting funds into projects. I think that's going to be the success story of this round of grant funding for communities. But when a community finishes their project and there's dollars left over, those dollars will still be residing in our grant fund account for the administration of small harbor improvement programs. And therefore, since we won't have to return those funds to the bond commission, they will be available for use in any subsequent rounds for small harbor improvement. So if a town does things that aren't reimbursable instead of the things that they said in accordance with the contract, that money's going to be available to in the future. If the projects come in under budget, that money will also be available in the future too. So very good improvement for that.
We earn interest on those accounts?
No, we don't.
Not on the
It's
not on
held.
the money stored in the grant account.
It's held
Oh,
in
that's right.
the state's accounts.
Oh, I see. So, okay. He said.
Anyway, I want to thank the members of the board that participated in the committee, which was myself, Grant, John Johnson, and those
Brian.
Brian Thompson. So,
That's right.
yeah. So I appreciate the time, but really the majority of the time was by the staff. So appreciate you putting that forward in a neat and clean way for us to approve it. That went very well, very smooth.
Yeah, as a committee member, it was so easy to understand.
Yep.
You really made an easy job for us. So
Well, thank
much
you.
appreciated.
Okay. Agenda item number four, which was the audit services. We need to hear and act on a request to authorize the executive director to negotiate and enter into an agreement for auditing services. And I'll let Paul Hinch, who is the chair of that particular committee, discuss if he's paying attention there.
Indeed.
You all set, Paul?
I'm all set.
All right. Turn it over to you.
He's
Well,
back on mute again.
you're back on mute. There you
Sorry.
go.
The members of the audit selection committee were Paul White Scarver, myself, Tom Patton, Mike O'Connor, and Fayola Haynes. The RFP was posted on Wednesday, January 21st, 2026. The deadlines were for questions was on February 4th, 2026. We had questions received from 71 questions from four firms. The responses posted were posted on February 18th, and the deadline for submission was February 27th at 4 p.m. We had six proposals received. One was deemed invalid due to not receiving a hard copy. So the respondent firms were Barry Dunn, CBIZ, Clifton Larson Allen, Malden and Jenkins, Ravi Ramnarayan, and Whittlesley. The Ravi Ramnarayan was deemed invalid. Three delegates from the selection committee, myself, Mike, and Faye, interviewed three shortlisted firms, which were Barry Dunn, CLA, and Whittlesey. And the selected firm that was to be recommended to the board was CLA. Thank you.
Yep. So with that said, I'd like to have a motion to allow the executive director to negotiate that contract.
So move.
Second by Gaffney. Any discussion?
Who is CLA?
You just Clifton Larson Allen.
And they're based in
Hartford.
Okay. Do they have experience in maritime stuff?
They have experience in quasi-public organizations.
Yeah. Okay.
But no experience with us, right?
They've not done the Port Authority's audits in the past.
The previous audit company was with us for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember who it was before that, those guys.
I think they had a longer tenure than 3 years.
Yeah, so it's 3 years.
Yeah, we're they had two, up. 3 year terms. Yeah. So this is the first time we've gone out of the box for a different auditor.
I think it's important to note that all three firms that were shortlisted, we truly believe could certainly do the job. We just felt a little more comfortable on this particular occasion with the selected firm, CLA.
So when do you think we can get a completed audit? Quickly, or is it going to be 9 months or what?
But
fiscal year ends.
They'll be doing the fiscal year that we're currently in after it ends. Shortly after we enter into an agreement with them, they'll be here to start prepping and get the lay of the land and set up the things that they need to set up to be able to review things from outside of the office electronically.
Gotcha.
They'll spend some of their time here, some of their time away. I think we had everybody committing to a November timeline for finishing the audit once the fiscal year ends. And I think the only negotiation piece I would tell you is that they were all similarly priced based on the rates that are available in the industry for how much we pay people per hour times the number of hours that they thought it would take to do the audit. Paul Fay and I agree that all of those estimates of time were based on what our previous audits looked like. Our audit will be a little simpler this year, given that most of the expenditures associated with State Pier, those millions of dollars are not the same level of detail needed as we might have expected in the past. So there is a potential for the average price of about $60,000 to be less.
And so less than, say that again. Yeah.
So they were all in the $60,000 to $70,000 price range. It could be less as a result of working with them.
So how does that compare with what we paid previously?
The last audit fee was 58,000.
What,
58,000.
Great. Other questions?
Okay, we have two motions to approve. Discussion's complete. Do I have all those in favor say aye?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion passes. Next agenda item number 5 is the New Haven Harbor Improvement Project for the Executive Director to execute a project partnership agreement with the Department of Army for the New Haven Harbor Improvement Project. So, Mike, you want to talk about that briefly?
Yeah, we sent the agreement out. The Corps will actually, if approved today, will be here on the 7th of April to execute the signatures. Agreement is a standard agreement that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers enters into with non-federal sponsors, or we're acting as a non-federal sponsor for this project. The obligations of the parties outlined in Article 2, most of them do not apply because we're not doing any project here that will involve long-term maintenance costs or transfer of real estate or anything like that. This is a simpler project than this is designed to handle. The important parts of it are how we go about working together, good project coordination. I was able to get a flavor for how that will work during the maintenance dredging last fall. The next set of projects will be equally communicated well. We were also involved in the bid process, so we were able to observe that and provide comment and feedback on how the bids were going. Ultimately, the Corps has a process for evaluating bids, up to including making sure that nobody's underbidding or overbidding. Underbidding sounds good, but it could lead to unexpected costs later when somebody doesn't really understand what they're bidding for. Under the removal of obstructions on page 7, the only task we'll have involved in that is to make sure that we monitor when the buoys leave the channel or relevant work, and that they get put back in the right place when they're done. But all of the actual work is done by the Coast Guard. Lastly, on page 13, payment of funds, probably the most important part of this agreement, is that for a project of this size, over $72 million, the non-federal share is $18.2 million. We, the Port Authority, have already paid a portion of that for some of the design work that went on. So it'll be in the $17 million range. That is, of course, the money that the Bond Commission approved for this project in December. But you'll also note in that paragraph that 10% of the project is owed over the next 30 years. The only comment I have on that is there is action in Congress right now to do away with that payment in perpetuity for all harbor projects and let the federal government just absorb that. If that happens during the conduct of this project, ultimately we won't have to pay that $7 million over whatever time frame we pick. But I did put that $7 million in front of the Transportation Committee as part of our next set of major bonding that we will need to support navigation work in the future.
And how was that received?
Very well. Yep. So we clearly identified what the projects will need and when they will need them. As a result of this project taking two dredge terms to do, the payment of the money that we have and access to right now will be required within 60 days of the project finishing in the spring of 2028. I didn't have any additional comments on the contract.
Any questions for Mike? I would add that, you know, this is great that the Port Authority is focusing on the dredging of our waterways. It's one of the big, you know, the what I would consider one of the more important things that we're doing. Now that we've gotten past the state pier, that's fully functioning, it's great to move on to some other priorities on the waterfront.
Indeed.
Okay, I'll take a motion for approval for the executive director to execute a project partnership with the Army Corps of Engineers.
So moved.
Okay, I got Doug and Gaffer. Any discussion? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Okay. On to item number.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in support of the agreement that we just signed, another part of the court's process is for us to sign a certificate of authority.
Oh, yep.
There's different versions of this document that they will provide to people. I worked with the Corps to change the document so that we could authorize for our purposes what we're signing for. This particular certificate of authority says, I, Paul Whitescarver, do hereby certify that I am the chairman of the Connecticut Port Authority Board of Directors, that the Connecticut Port Authority is a legally constituted public body with full authority and legal capability to perform the terms of the agreement between the Department of the Army and the Connecticut Port Authority in conjunction with the construction of the New Haven Harbor Navigation Improvement Project as authorized by Connecticut General Statutes Chapter 246 Alpha Section 1531 Bravo 9, which of course is our enabling legislation that describes our duties and powers, and to pay damages if necessary in the event of a failure to perform in accordance with the terms of this agreement. But as outlined in the agreement, we're not really subject to many damages given the nature of the project. And as required by section, that's required by section 221 of public law. And the person who executed this agreement, which will be me on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, acted within his statutory authority as authorized in Connecticut General Statutes, Chapter 246A, Section 1531, Alpha Delta, which describes the responsibilities of the executive director. So if the board votes to approve you to sign this with a witness from the board, then we can execute that document after the meeting.
Yeah, all those in favor of me signing the document for the board of directors, I'll entertain a motion for that.
So moved.
Second.
Tom Johnson and second. Gaffney. Any discussion from the board?
Big responsibility for our children.
Yeah. Any all those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Now we can go to item number six. This is the memorandum of understanding to allow the executive director to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the C-Train Technology LLC. And I'll let Mike explain this. And it's really about rights.
Yeah, really about intellectual rights. But, we're starting to get more requests from people outside of Connecticut that want to do business inside of Connecticut. My favorite question lately is, where can we put a shipyard? That goes along with one of our efforts to make sure we understand what commercial real estate is available along the coast. C-Train Technology is one of the first. This is an autonomous ship design that would benefit from robotic construction and welding. That's a different type of workforce that's needed. But this type of workforce that we're developing in Connecticut, I recently went up to visit CCAT, Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology. It is a training center for doing exactly this type of work. And we do have available real estate on the Connecticut and Thames Rivers and along the coast that somebody with the right parameters could make use of. But they will have to divulge to us what they're building, how they're building it, where they want to do it, what their shipyard's going to look like. And so I was willing to enter into a memorandum of understanding to outline those parameters. And as Paul said, confidentiality and guarding of intellectual property is amongst the most important terms of this for the next 24 months.
With that said, I'll entertain a motion for Mike to enter into a memorandum of agreement with C-Train Technologies.
So moved.
Okay. Way to get in there, Kristen. So John Johnson and Kristen. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I got a question. Is this something that you're going to do a PR on?
No.
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 Exactly right.
No, we'll be working with them.
Right.
If they want to do PR on what they're doing in the state, they can do it when we get closer to some solution for them. We're not entering this agreement to partnership with them any further than supporting their business efforts. It could serve as a model for how we engage others that want to come in and look for a spot and collaborate to get everything that they need. And I would anticipate that working with an organization like this would lead to bringing in other partners so that they can get the workforce, the specific technology, the space that they need, the water access that they want to be able to execute their whole plan.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, John.
Are you asking for us to keep this confidential then?
I mean, you can tell people where you entered into an MOU if they ask you.
Yeah.
With C-Train.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing in here that says that nobody can know that we're in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would have taken this up in executive session.
Yeah. What do we know about C-Train?
Go.
What do we know about C-Train?
Yeah.
It's a modular ship construction that you assemble modules to make a longer vessel.
Yeah, I looked them up. Yeah.
And it moves through the water by submerging the front end. It dives. It technically can dive to 5,000 feet as described to their website. That's a pretty long way down. As it falls to 5,000 feet, it picks up speed in the forward direction. And when you get down to 5,000 feet, the next job is to surface. And as you come up, it similarly picks up speed. So by going through those iterations, it moves through the water. The pressure is very high at 5,000 feet.
A lot.
A lot, yeah. Paul says. We can take his word for it. I'll just tell you it's over 2,000 pounds. And if you're moving cargo, then the thing that you're moving cargo with has to be rated at 2,000 pounds because it's got to survive the crush depth. If you're moving a liquid, you can equalize the liquid inside the tank with the pressure outside the tank, and you don't need a tank that can withstand crush depth because it's never going to see that. And so picture something that can just pop up out of the water somewhere with several tanks of fuel oil on board and sidle up next to a ship and fuel it and disappear again. That's the type of technology they're talking about. Automated, nobody's on board, no humans going to 5,000 feet. Nobody's riding around in a storm waiting to fuel the next ship. It's just an example of one of the things it could do. If you're U.S. Navy fighting force and you need one of your ships fueled, then an oiler has to go meet up with you and pull alongside and do a ship-to-ship transfer at sea. And then if somebody takes out your oiler, you don't get the fuel. So it's got a lot of good applications. I think once you get started, the sky's the limit. Of course, you can put any modules together with, make it as long or short as you want. You can go shallower depths. It just moves slower. So a lot of things could be developed with this. You always need a command module up front and a tail module in the back to control the whole thing. Make it as long as you want. There's a pretty good video on it on their website if you want to go check it out.
That sea train came to us?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
completed any?
No. I'm just going to ask it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
For the first one?
I think it's a startup.
Where's the console? They're startup.
Okay. Another question. I noticed that they're an LLC. And not an incorporated corporation. Have we seen their financials, or how do we trust them? Do we know them?
Well, I don't have to trust them. I'm not spending any money. We're not making an investment.
But we're getting into a partnership with them. So.
Well, I would say we're not getting into a partnership. We're going to work together on something, but we have no financial arrangement. Okay. Did Brian have a question?
Yeah, it was me. I don't know. Brian may have also, but if he needs to.
Somebody on TV.
Yeah. I'm not a submersible technology engineer, but I play one on TV. not even that. First of all, can it deliver ice cream? I know the Submariners in the room will want to know the answer.
Maybe.
Appreciate that.
But actually, no. My question's. One was about the agreement. I was just going to point out in just looking at it, it even kind of calls out explicitly the non-binding nature of the agreement.
Yes.
To kind of address Gaffney's question. It's kind of an agreement to, like you said, work together and collaborate and, you know, and talk. But the confidentiality provision and all, I don't see this as a real obstacle. But I wonder if they're already talking to DECD or, you know, other elements of, you know, economic development, elements of state government, Advanced Connecticut or anybody like that. And the kind of the second part of that question is, if we want to kind of share information with DECD and other entities like that, that represent the state, do we have to go back to them and get permission? Again, I don't see that as a big barrier as things start to develop, but I just thought I'd mention it.
Doug, that's a great question. I would tell you through us, they expect to collaborate with other state entities. And so I'll make sure that when we sign the final agreement, that extends to the other state entities that we might involve.
Or we and have I think they're used to that and used to signing on to whatever NDAs are necessary when information is shared. My guess is if they're at the point of sharing actual proprietary information, they're actually going to provide an NDA at that time, but who knows? Just wanted to flag that as a thing to think about. You want to make it easy to pick up the phone and say, hey, they have this specific thing about their technology, which means they need the following. What do we have in the state for that?
Okay.
Any further discussion? Okay, I believe I have a first and a second motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, motion carries. As this is a special meeting, the next item is for adjournment. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Paul, before we adjourn, can I request that we meet afterwards?
Yeah, sure. I need
that we a few of us stay on, or how many you want. Yeah. I have an update about tomorrow.
Oh, we have to make sure we're less than eight, so we don't have a quorum. So anyway, we're
adjourned.
We're adjourned. Thank you.